Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines, a 5-minute commentary on living.
In Russian Slovak countries, when someone is converted, he doesn't speak of being saved or even being born again. He says, "I repented." And that act of repentance has both a public and a private side. Publicly, the individual has to acknowledge his sin and wrongdoing. And privately, the act is a humbling experience, an internal realization that what he has done in the past is wrong, accompanied by a sincere sorrow for wrongdoing. In the West today, have we lost sight of what repentance really means? It's simply saying, "I'm sorry," and then getting on with life, assuming that everything is forgiven and should be forgotten, really sufficient? What is repentance? At least the kind that is genuine and acceptable in the sight of God. The issue isn't a new one. It's actually the same one that Paul had to face in the Corinthian culture of the first century. But to recognize the parallels, you need to understand something of the background of ancient Corinth, which was a beautiful Roman city on an isthmus between the Aegean and the Ionian Seas. To call someone a Corinthian was not a compliment in Paul's day because it bore the connotation of moral looseness and shoddy character. As a result of his 18 months of ministry there, a church had been born, and the moral problems of the converts were carried into their new established lives as Christians. One man maintained a sexual relationship with his stepmother, and others seemed never to quite throw off their former lifestyles. In his second letter, Paul confronted the issue of being genuinely repentant. He said, "There are two kinds of repentance. One, the kind that makes you sorry because you got caught, and the kind that God honors, the kind that bears a deep sorrow for wrongdoing." You can read about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. The word which Paul used when he wrote of repentance is metanoia. It literally means a change of mind. It has four elements, benchmarks, by which you can discern the true from the false. Element number one, a genuine sorrow for wrongdoing. Now, this doesn't mean an embarrassment because you got caught, but a sincere sorrow because of what you did. Wrongdoing always bears the consequences to others, family, friends, business associates, as well as God. Element number two, overt confession for wrongdoing. Public sin needs to be confessed publicly, private sin privately. The Bible says whoever confesses and forsakes his sin will prosper, but he who hides it faces the consequences. Element three, accountability. The mark of a genuinely repentant individual is that he or she becomes willing to answer the tough questions and allow someone to ask them without saying, "This is none of your business." Element number four, the acceptance of the consequences for wrongdoing. When Jesus confronted individuals who were wrong, he taught them that part of the price of forgiveness is the willingness of the wrongdoer to assume the responsibility for his actions. That's still true today. Forgiveness is one issue. Accepting responsibility for wrongdoing is entirely another issue, one that has all but been ignored in recent days. When Paul confronted this issue, he concluded that there is a godly sorrow which leads to genuine repentance, and a sorry I got caught kind that leads to death. Make sure that you know the difference, and perhaps you need to jot down that passage, 2 Corinthians 7, where Paul tells us what the difference really is.
You've just heard Dr. Harold Sala with Guidelines, a 5-minute commentary on living. If you would like to listen to the program again, download a copy, subscribe to our e-commentary, or view other resources, visit guidelines.org. We would like to hear from you, too. You can email us at info@guidelines.org. That's info@guidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join us again for the next edition of Guidelines.